When several more work-related texts had her phone singing, Diana joined the Travelers at the oval-shaped carousels. The sooner she got her mother dropped off at Greenbrier, the family's antebellum home 40 miles west of Jackson, the sooner she could tackle the multiple work issues piling up. Besides her retail stores, Greenbrier's bed and breakfast accounts needed her attention, and the hunter's camp she recently purchased required a visit. After locating the correct carousel, she stood shoulder to shoulder with the crowd waiting for their bags. With summer travel season in full swing, the area had more people squeezed in it than a tailgate party at an Ole Miss game. A rotund man with a cart pushed his way forward to the front of the circular conveyor belt. His bull in a china shop impersonation sent a young mom with two kids in tow bumping into Diana. In turn, she knocked against the person to her left. "Excuse me." She turned to the man dressed in the nicest gray suit she'd ever seen. The finely woven fabric appeared handcrafted. Facing away from her, the gentleman didn't react to her entering his personal space, but good manners dictated she apologized nonetheless. "I'm terribly sorry." Mr. Fancy Suit let out a growl.
"Damn Yanks."
The muttered oath shouldn't have gotten under her skin. His clipped British accent gave him away. Bless his heart. He didn't know many in her region of the U.S. considered Yankee a curse rather than a national identifier.
"It's bloody bedlam in here. Don't these people know how to queue?"
A sharp retort poised on Diana's lips. She didn't complain about driving on the wrong side of the road when she had traveled over there for business, or the fact she couldn't get grits and iced tea when in Rome and all that. The sight of her mother's suitcase saved Mr. Suit from the cutting down he so richly deserved. She wormed her way toward the revolving black belt. Timing her snatch and grab, she captured the handle and pulled, only to be carried along when she failed to lift the heavy case off the carousel. People scrambled to get out of her way as she rounded the curve, all the while trotting backwards on her red-soled heels. "This is how I die," she could imagine the Greenville Post headlines. "Former debutante killed in suitcase mishap. Closed casket required.
Here, let me help you."
In a fluid motion, Mr. Soup wrapped an arm around Diana's waist and tugged her mom's bag free from the belt. He set them both upright and steady on the floor, as if neither weighed more than a bag of sugar. She blinked up at the guy who'd been so surly only moments before. "Thank you kindly. I do believe if you hadn't come along, I was facing certain dismemberment." His smile sent her heart to sputtering. Something it hadn't done since she caught her ex-boyfriend in bed with her ex-best friend. Contrary to popular humor, Brits had good teeth. Especially the gentleman in his early 30s standing before her. Full lips perfectly accentuated his pearly whites.
"You're quite welcome."
His hazel eyes sparked as if somehow he found her amusing. Ordinarily, she would have taken offense at being the butt of someone's joke, but the flash of dimple on his left cheek made her want to say something else amusing. Instead, she tugged on her mother's luggage. While the rest of the world carried bags with wheels, her mother clung to a matching set of Louis Vuitton, passed down from Diana's grandmother, Betty. The case refused to budge, giving Diana a sudden flashback.
"Allow me."
Mr. Suit hefted the case, removing them from the throng to the edge of the baggage claim area.
"My God, woman, what did you do? Steal the crown jewels?"
Diana smoothed the blonde strands that had come loose from the knot at her nape. "It's my mother's bag, and it's entirely possible." At the very least, Jackie had purchased replicas of famous jewels to add to her collection of all things British. She caught Mr. Suit's gaze and winked. "If she has your crown and scepter, I'll see to it you get it back." While clearly not one of the often photographed members of the royal family, his smart appearance and manners certainly identified him as a member of Britain's upper echelon. Why on earth was he slumming with the mundane multitudes? Andrew had never wanted to kiss a stranger until this moment. The woman he'd rescued from death by luggage elevated chatting up a chap to an art form. The snap of her green eyes conveyed intelligence, while her ready smile hinted of sensual pleasure. Were all Americans this outgoing? Or was it only this woman who'd ensnared him? No wonder Uncle Neville had gotten into this mess.